This is there's a famous Gemara, a famous story about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and this is one of the most famous stories, actually, which started it all. I'm just going to read the beginning of this story. The story is found in Masechet Shabbos. I'll give you a guess. What daf?
Rabbi Gimel Amud Bet.
Can you read this? You know this? So here we go. So anyway, I thought that you guys would already have learned the story, because I thought the Rokar was going to get out of here. That's right. Oh, you did? Okay, great. It goes like this. I'm sorry if we stole your mako. Rav Krugman. You can stay. Okay. The story goes as follows. Okay. In the beginning, there's a Tana called Rabbi Yehuda. He's Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. And Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai is called Rosh HaMedaber. He was like the spokesman for the Jewish people. And the Gemara asks, you know, where do you get that name from? It's like a funny, like, Rabbi Yehuda, Rosh HaMedaber. So the Gemara says, Va'amai karele Rosh HaMedaber b'chol makom? Why is Rabbi Yehuda called Rosh HaMedaber in every place? And the Gemara answers, here we go. In case you want to do chazal, I'll give you more than one sheet. Pass out to anybody. Anyway, come to the So why is Rabbi Yehuda given his title as Rosh Medabim, the spokesman for the Jewish people? So he says, well, let me tell you a story. And the Gemara starts, you'll see, we'll start in a second. Diyafi Rabbi Yehuda, right. Diyafi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon, they sat down together. The Yatid Yehuda ben Garm Gabayu, and there's a guy named Yehuda ben Garm who sat with them as well. And now you're the source number one there on the top. Patach Rabbi Yehuda ba'amar. Rabbi Yehuda opened up and he said, "Kama na'im maseim shel umazo. How good are the deeds, the acts of these this nation, which was the nation? Well." Tiknu shvakim, they made marketplaces. Tiknu sharim, they made bridges. Tiknu mechtzaot, bathhouses. They had great deeds. Rabbi Yossi, what did he do? Shatak. Nane Rashbi v'amar. The Rashbi answered and he said, here it says Rashbi by this one, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and he says, Kol ma she tiknu lo tiknu el tzorach atzman. Everything they did for their own purposes. And he says as follows. What?
Since
everybody quotes this Gemara. Everyone's what do you do with it? Jake, here we go. Give Jake. You're gonna be fired. Give the pages to Danny because he's closer to where people are gonna come in. Okay. All right. So now, and just the continuation of that little source which I quoted. It says as follows. There's a different Gemara in the Avodah Zarah. Tiknu shvakin loshi ben zonot. Why did they make marketplaces? For prostitutes. Merchzaot, for what purpose? La den ben atzman. They did it not for health, they did it because they wanted pleasure. Gisharim, why did they make bridges? Li tol mehem meches, they want to get taxes. The Gemara continues the story. Yehuda ben Garim, who was sitting with them, went v'sipir divreya and told the story about what they were talking about. V'nishmu l'malchan, it was overheard by the government. Amru Yehuda she'ila yit'ale. Yehuda, who spoke well, he will be raised up, and that's why he had the title Rosh HaMedaber b'chol makom. Look at this story. Yossi sheshatak. Yossi, you were quiet. So Yigle, you get sent into Golos. Where to get sent to Golos? To Tzipori. He's not allowed to leave Tzipori. And Shimon she gina yehareg. Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you spoke badly against Rome, so you get to be killed. So azalhu brei tashu be midrasha kol yamei, etc. Then he goes on and tells what. Well, Rabbi Shimon, so Yossi went to Golos. Rabbi Yehuda didn't have to go anywhere, and Rabbi Shimon had to die, but he didn't decide he didn't want to die. So what did he do? In the end, he went to a cave. Okay, and he hid out. Right? So that was the story there. But I'm going to focus here on this. This little section, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, everything that they did for themselves. Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, how wonderful are the acts of this nation. What's going on? Rabbi Yehuda didn't know that everything they did for themselves? What's the machlokas here? What are they arguing about? The facts were certainly the same. It's the question of what they're arguing about. So I want to show you, I want to take you on a nice tour of machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in different areas, and then other quotes from Rabbi Shimon himself to understand the Torah of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He is very, very consistent, frighteningly consistent. That every single thing that he does, we'll see, is in the same line, the same vein of thought. Okay, in halacha, look there. It says Masechah Shabbos, Tzadi Gimel Amud Bet, Rabbi Yudah Omer, Malacha Shein Esrich Legufa Chayav Aleha, Rabbi Shimon Patar Aleha. You know what a Malacha Shein Esrich Legufa is? It's you do a Malacha, but you don't need the Gufa, you don't need the Malacha. You're digging a hole, and you don't need the hole. So why are you digging the hole? Because you want the dirt. You're not. You just want some dirt. Is getting dirt on Shabbos a problem? No problem getting dirt on Shabbos. What's the problem? The problem is doing a malacha, making a hole is bonus. So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So what if you're making the hole, but you're not making the hole to make a hole? You're making the hole because you want the dirt. So that's a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda there says you're chayav. That is an issur d'oraisa. Rabbi Shimon says you're pater. It's only an issur d'rabbanan. It's not issur d'oraisa. What's machlokes? So look at the next source. The Masechet Beit, so we have a similar machlokes to a malacha she'en esrich legufa, a davar she'eno mitkaven. You guys heard it? You know what that is?
Yeah.
What does it mean literally? Something you don't intend to do. So Rabbi Yehuda Savar, davar she'eno mitkaven asur. He says, Rabbi Yehuda, that if you do a malacha, but you didn't intend to do the malacha, still asur. Rabbanan Sabri Nami Ki Rabbi Yehuda Davar Shein Kamen Asur because we didn't Kartzu Batu Karud. Rabbi Lezer Ben Azariah Sabar Larud Lak Rabbi Shimon, and they hold like Rabbi Shimon. This is about using a certain combs to comb your animal. Damar Davar Sheinu Mitkaven Mutar. There, the source says that Rabbi Shimon holds that if you don't have kavana for the action, then it's mutter. So, for example, a person, this is the classic example that's given. A person has a bench in his backyard. And it just rained the night before. And he pulls the bench. Why? Because he wants to get the bench from one place to the other place. Is that mutter on Shabbos? Yeah, of course it's mutter. You're allowed to move a bench from one place to the other. Ah, the problem here is that there's a possibility that when he pulls the bench, he's going to make a groove, a charis. And that's already a malacha called choresh, plowing. Now, you're not allowed to plow on Shabbos. So this person is moving his bench from one place to another, right? And he makes a charitz. Is he chayav or is he not chayav? So this is the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, doesn't matter whether or not you had intention to make the charitz, you are chayav. Says Rabbi Shimon, no, it all depends on your intention. Did you have intention to make a charitz? No. So then it's mutter. There's nothing wrong with it at all. But if you had intention, then what's it in? And it's usher. You're not allowed to do it. I will say just parenthetically, this machlokas of Davar She'eno Mitkaven is when it's not sure that you're going to make a charis. But Rabbi Shimon would agree, parenthetically, that if 100% you were going to make that charis, if you move it, then it would be, you would be chayav on. That's parenthetically. So, and finally, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, a person wants to hit somebody. Maybe he wants to kill somebody. And he hits the wrong person. What's the din? Right? Chavin la'akot le'gadol v'yabab k'dei la'amid le'gadol v'alchal la'akot anumeit chayav. Let's say a person wanted to hit a big person. He really wanted to hit him. And he had that blow was so powerful he could have killed the big person. What happened? He missed. And he hit the small person. And he killed the small person. So what's the din? So the Mishnah says it's chayav. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu nitkaven l'roget zeh v'raget zeh patur. Even if a person had kavana to kill one person and he killed a different person, then he's patur. Why?
That's not what he meant to do.
Tanya, the Brayta says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, ad shemar l'ploni. L'ploni ani mitkaven. I have kavana to hit this person. Danny, give me a sheet. Okay. So that is halacha. So there's a consistent line, Michael, that goes through all these cases. What's the consistent line? According to Rabbi Shimon, what matters is the intention. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what matters? the action. So we see this is true in terms of how they relate to Rome. Your actions are so good. Right, Rabbi Shimon? No. Your intentions are so bad. It all depends what the action is, Rabbi Yehuda. It all depends what the intention, Rabbi Shimon. Let's go further. It's interesting, this even plays out in terms of how they darshan out Pesukim. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, also in Sanhedrin, says, Rabbi Yehuda lo darash tam dekra, Rabbi Shimon darash tam dekra. When the Pesuk says a mitzvah, a certain mitzvah, and in this case that's quoted here in the Gemara, the mitzvah was an almana, you're not allowed to take a mashkon from her. You lend her something, so what's a mashkon? Collateral, right? You're not allowed to take collateral from an almana. So the Gemara discusses there, any almana? Or is it just a poor almana? A poor almana you can't take a mashkon from, it's not fair. But a wealthy almana, what do you care? So Rabbi Yehuda says, or Rabbanan say, that you cannot take, it says in the pasuk, you can't take a mashkon from almana, that's it. It doesn't matter what kind of money. She's a multi-billionaire. You can't take it. What's the woman who wrote Harry Potter? So if she was on money, so then it doesn't matter. You can't take a mashkin from her. Comes from Yeshua and says, wait a minute. What's the whole reason behind the Isser? Because this is a poor lady. And she's unfortunate, misfortunate. And it's not good to be seen every single day going back and forth. And this woman, but if she's wealthy, you can take the mashkon. It's not a problem. He's Dorish Tam Dekra. Okay? That is that. There is a, next week's parsha is Bichukotai. So in the very beginning of Bichukotai, the Torah tells us, Bichukotai is famous for what? Tzvi. Bichukotai is famous for what? Or infamous. The Tokacha. The Tokacha is the section in the Torah, it actually appears twice, the two different Tokachas, that if we don't keep the mitzvah of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, very nice. If Am Yisrael doesn't, do what we're supposed to be doing in this world, so then Chas V'Shalom, we could have a lot of calamities that befall us. So before the very long section of the Tokacha, there's a short section which says, what if you do what a Kodesh Baruch wants? Im b'chukotai teilechu, if you actually do what a Kodesh Baruch wants, so then you'll get all of this. And one of the things that it says there is, v'shvati chaya ra'am min ha'aretz. V'shvati chaya ra'am min ha'aretz. Who can translate these words for me? V'hishvati chaya ra'am min ha'aretz. V'shvati like Shabbat. What does it mean?
Rest.
So what is v'hishvati chaya ra'am min ha'aretz? We'll start with Chayar Aminaris. What does that mean?
Wild animals from the land.
What animals?
Wild animals.
Wild animals from the land. And what is Vishbati? I will rest the wild animals. I will here, perhaps like I will remove. And I will remove the, what do you call them?
Wild
animals from the land. Okay, that is one of the brachot that if we do it, if it is baruch once in the chukodai tzlechu ved mitzvotai tishmeru svasitem otan. So one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to get rid of the chaya ra'ah from the land. Okay, what does this mean? So this is a machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so the Sifra writes, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Maviram Min Ha'olam. I will remove them from the world. Meaning, you come to Eretz Yisrael, or at least to Eretz Yisrael, and there will be no lions and tigers and bears. There will be none. No more. Just get rid of them. Okay? That is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon doesn't say that. What do you think Rabbi Shimon is going to say to Rabbi Yehuda? Nobody? Okay, let's feel inside. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mashpitan Shelo Yazuku. Shelo Yizoku. What does it mean? Ah, very good. They will be tamed. Excellent, Arya. They will be tamed. Mashpitan Shelo Yizoku. I'm going to stop them from harming you. They won't be dangerous anymore. They won't be wild animals.
They're not
gonna take the wild. Right. I'm going to take the wild out of the animal. They'll be animals. but they won't be wild. It's going to be, I'm going to take the ra'ah mitoch ha'chaya. Take out the ra'ah. So that's what he says. Amar Rabbi Shimon emotayu shivcho shel makom. This the Medrash goes on. Bizman shein mezikin. What is the great praise to God that if you can have these animals and they won't do any harm? Obizman sheish mezikin ben mezikin. So is it more of a praise to God that there'll be no lions? Lions won't kill anybody. There'll be no snakes. Oh, there'll be snakes, but they won't harm anybody. Obviously, the latter. And more bizman sheish mezikin ben mezikin. The chenu mem is more shirli o mashavat l'mashbitam mezikim in olam. Okay, and then he quotes the Medrash quotes the famous prophecy. The Chaynu Omer Begar Zed Im Keves V'Namer Im Gdiyur Bats V'Egel Kfir Im Riach Dav V'Nar Kazan Noeg Vam. So you're going to have, what's a Zeb? A wolf with a Keves. What's a Keves?
Sheep.
A lamb. Yeah. So the wolf and the lamb will be together.
Yeah.
Right, we'll lie together. Nothing will happen. That's the famous vision of the right of the end of the days, that you're going to have these animals together. You'll have a lion and an eagle, a calf, and nothing will happen. And a young kid will be on top of them all, etc., etc. So we see. Yeah, we're over here. So we see that very consistent. Even in the Parish of Torah, Rabbi Shimon understands that what is this great bracha? It's not external, that there won't be any more lions, there won't be any more wolves, but rather it's internal. Everything's premius. That the evil within the animal, the wild within the animal, will be gone. It's an internal change, not an external change. The Gemara in Brachos. Look there at the bottom of the right hand side. This is an amazing, amazing Gemara. You know the story with Tamar, Yehuda and Tamar?
Oh yeah.
So Yehuda and Tamar, Yehuda married a woman, and he had two kids, right? What were their names?
Three kids.
One second. Erev and Onan. And then he had a third kid named Sheva, right? And Erev and Onan died. Who did Erev and Onan marry? Tamar. And they both died. First was a brief. And then Yehuda said, you have to, wait till Shelah grows up. But he really now had no intention of Tamar ever marrying Shelah. And at a certain point, Tamar realized this, and she decided to do something unprecedented. She took off her clothing in mourning, and she got dressed up almost like a harlot. And she was waiting at a certain intersection, thank you, Tomit. And then Yehuda came one day, saw her, and he was with her. But before he was with her, she said, I want to make sure you're going to pay me. And what are you going to give to me? And he gave, what did he give? Three
ring,
things?
Ring,
stick, and cloak. And so she held on to these things. And then he never found her. She disappeared. And he wanted to pay. That was a mashkon. He wanted to pay with a few sheep. And there was no one to be found. And it was very, very embarrassing. So he did it. A few months later, 3 months later, all of a sudden, they could tell that Tamar is pregnant. And so they tell Yehuda, your daughter-in-law Tamar is pregnant. And that's a no-no. So he's like, kill her. Burn her. Otsiro v'tzarek, right? So what is her reaction? What is
whoever,
her reaction?
Whoever these three things belong to.
Yes, she says in Lashon Remez, whoever these things belong to, that is the person that I'm pregnant with. And now Yehuda has an option at this point. He can just ignore it, like don't say anything, or admit it. So he admits it. But the question is on Tamar. Why does Tamar do what she does? Tamar should have said, "It's you, Yehuda. I can prove it." Why didn't she do that? Why didn't she?
She left the option up to him.
She didn't want to embarrass him. So look at the Gemara here. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvi Amar Rav Amri La Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna Amar Rav Yishim and Chasida Amri La. And there are those who say that who is the statement? Amar Rav Yochanan Meshum Rav Yishim Bar Yochai. What is the statement? Noach Lo La Adam. It is better for a man. She Apilat Smol Etoch Kibshana Eish. To throw himself into the fire. Va'al Yalbim Pnei Chaverob Rabim. and don't embarrass someone in public. Minalan, where did we learn this from? Mitamar, we learned it from Tamar, Shneemar, Vihi Mutzei, that she was there, and what did she do? She said, Lami, that's who I'm pregnant. So she didn't embarrass him. She didn't embarrass him. It's better for her to die through Srefa than for her to embarrass him. So Rabbi Shimon Echai teaches us that this person, what does this mean? It's better to die than to embarrass someone. You know, when you put a, when you weigh the two, you would think that dying is much more chamor than embarrassing somebody, right? But no, Rabbi Shimon Echai doesn't understand it well. He says that you have to look inside. When you embarrass someone in public, you're killing him inside. You're killing him. You're killing his kavod. You're killing him. You're killing the genius of the person. So that's like dying. Better for you to die rather than someone else to die. Amazing thing. Punishments. What's the worst punishment out there? There are arba mitzvot beit din. Who can name them? What's the worst one? Skila. However, no. Look at the Gemara here in Sanhedrin. The Mishnah. The Mishnah says arba mitzvot nimsru levet din. Skila sreifa herik b'chenek. Like you said, Rabbi Shimon Omer sreifa skila herik b'chenek b'herik. So. So, who does, which one is the worst according to Rabbi Yehuda? Skila. And according to Rabbi Shimon? Sreifa. Why?
Which one's the hot lead?
Hot lead is Sreifa. Why is Sreifa, according to Rabbi Shimon, worse? Right, exactly. So Skila is when you put a stone on a person, right? Yeah, and you decimate their body.
You throw them off a cliff and then,
yeah, then put them,
they don't die.
Exactly. So that is decimating the body from the outside. But what's Sreifa?
It's destroying
it from the inside. That's very consistent with Rabbi Shimon Echai. It's all about what's going on in the inside. The neshama on the inside is the most important thing. When you pour Sreifa down a person's throat, he instantly can't breathe anymore, right? So you're killing the neshama, you're killing him from the inside as well. Food. How do you decide whether there's certain dinim by food? The Gemara says as follows. Ha'orla. Orla is what? Food, the fruit in the first 3 years. You're allowed to eat it?
No.
Kilea Karen. If you have a forbidden mixture in your vineyard, problem, kilayim, right? It's problematic. Shor haniskal, if you have an animal, a ox, that killed somebody and must be killed, are you allowed to benefit from the meat? Can you have a shor haniskal burger? No, you cannot. Ve'egla arufa, that's the, what, where do you do egla arufa? What's that? Yeah, when you find a dead body in between two cities, you measure it out, and then there's a Canaan come, they say, we didn't do this, and they bring an egel, and they shecht it from the back.
The worst is,
are you allowed to eat the meat of the egel arufa?
No.
Okay.
Sipori
Mitzora, the Mitzora at the end of his period has to bring two birds, right? Are those birds about to be eaten? No. Petar Chamor, what's that? What's Petar Chamor? The firstborn donkey. You allowed to eat it? No. Basar b'chala. You never have allowed to eat the donkey. But anyway, basar b'chala?
No.
Okay, very good. Kulam tmeim tumot ofen. The question is, there are certain halachas by food. Food can contract tuma and can transfer tuma, correct? So these things, even though you can't eat them, they are food, and therefore they have the dinim of food in terms of tumantara. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kulam ain't meim tumot ofen. They are not. They do not go under the laws of tumo. Why not? So at the very end, he says, "She'ia tayachol lachilo lacherim ena kriyocha." Any food that you can't give to somebody to eat is not considered food, because he goes down and says, "What's the essence of this? If it can't be eaten, then how can I define it as food? It's not food, and therefore, since it's not really food, it just looks like food. It may look like food. It may smell like food. It may act like food, but it's not food because food is something I can eat." So he goes to the essence of something, and that's how we define it. Okay. Next, two more sources, and then we stop.
Essence of something, then it would be God. Like everything boils down.
Okay, that's you know, true to a certain extent, but God creates a certain world here. So.
But everything, we have different intensities. Down to it.
nothing. Tanu Rabbanan. This is the famous Gemara that all of you must have learned at least once in your lives. V'asavta d'ganecha. The Gemara says, the Braita says, V'asavta d'ganecha, the pasuk in Shema, and you will gather your grains, right? Your produce. Ma Talmud Lomar. What does this teach us? L'fishin emar, lo yimush sefer Torah, hazemi picha, yachol vim k'tavan. Could it be that you take this literally? That you actually go out and you go into the field and you work the field? It says in Yoshua that a person should never stop learning Torah. Talmud Lomar v'asavta d'ganecha hanheg ben minag derech eretz. Divrei Yishmael. This is even though you're right. It does say that you should never leave the safe of the Torah. You should always be learning. Still, what can you do? You have to be, you know, act like the way of the world. And the way of the world is that people work for a living. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says. Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, he says something else. He says, "Ashar adam choresh pechshat harisha." Can a person plow when it's plowing time? V'zorea v'shat zriya, and plant when it's sowing time. V'kotzer v'shat tzira, and reap in the reaping time. V'dash v'shat disha, and thresh in the threshing time. V'zore v'shat haruach, and he can winnow. That means throwing it up, and the wind take off the chaff in the time of the wind. Torah Mateala, you know, making bread, making grain is a very long process, and it takes a lot of time. You're never gonna have any time to learn. El of Zman Yisrael Osim Rishonot Shel Makom Melachtan Naaseh Yidei Achirim. Because when we do the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, our work is done by others. We have a pasuk to support this. It says in Yishayahu, Vamdu Zarim, and strangers, meaning non-Jewish people, will come. They'll do the work for us. They'll shepherd. What's the word? Not shepherd. The sheep. They will herd the sheep. Thank you. And they will plant the crops. And they will do the harvest. They'll do everything. Bizman she'ein Yisrael asim esun Hashem akom. And when we don't do Hashem's will, melachtan nase da'idei atzman. Then we'll have to do our own work. Shneimar ba'asavta d'ganecha. As it says, and you should gather, you know, in the field, all of your grain. What? Great question. And not only that, but you'll have to do other people's work, as it says, etc. The end of the Gemara there says, a lot of people tried to do like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and it didn't work. They tried to do like Rabbi Shmuel, and it worked.
So
we don't possibly like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The question is, what was he thinking? What was he thinking?
Torah is the essence
of everything, and therefore you're put into this world just to learn and not to work. And therefore, but the Torah itself, he says, is telling you that if you do the Ratzon Hashem, if you do what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, Bizman Shi Yisrael Osin Yisrael Osin Makom, so then all your work will be done by that. In other words, the actions can become, if you have the right intentions when you're doing, you're just learning Torah, you're not even doing an action, the action will happen anyway. You don't have to do the action, and it'll happen. You just have the right intentions, and the actions will occur. You know what I'm saying? That's what he's saying. The intention is so powerful that it could cause another action to happen without you actually doing the action. You'll just be having the right intentions by learning Torah, and the actions will happen by themselves, or from others. There's a big shiloh on this Gemara. A big shiloh. Did anyone pick it up? A huge question. What does he say? What pasuk shows you that if you don't do the ratzon of Hashem, you'll have to do your work? What's the question asked? Exactly. Yeah, right. What's the question asked? Everyone asks this question. Says the pasuk says Vayayim Shemoa Tishmun. If it will be if you listen to what Kavod Kadosh Baruch Hu says, so then Vasafta the Gedef with Rosh Hashanah, you'll be able to be Zocha to go and work your field. But Rabbi Shimon says, no, this is when you don't do the Ratzon of Hashem. What do you mean? Bizman She'ein Yisrael Osin Ratzon Hashem Makom. That's Malachtan Nasek Dei Atzman. That's the bracha. That's Vayayim Shemoa Tishmun. How can you say that that's not the Ratzon of Hashem? So I think Tosfos there says, yeah, they're doing the matzah, not kol kach, not really, not enough. So I heard a story once of a person who was on a launch, a very wealthy man, and he came and went on a trip, and then he wanted to come back. When he came back, he had a very successful trip. He made a big party, and he said to his son, you know, I want you to go and get me a certain beer that I like. Go bring the beer over here. So the son goes to the cellar, and he brings back the best wine. The best wine. And he comes, gives the father, and the father's so happy. Thank you so much, son. Thank you so much. What happened? Like, people are
thinking,
they don't understand. They don't even get it. He asked for a beer, and he brought him wine. I don't understand. What's going on? So the father says, the father explains to everybody, says, you don't understand. My son really knows me well. I asked for beer. I didn't want to be matriarch him to find the best wine in the cellar and the best spot. So I asked him for beer. That also made me happy. But he really knew that what I really, really love is this one specific type of wine. That's something that I really, really love. So he got me the one thing that I really wanted. So someone wanted to explain this Gemara in that way. That it doesn't say, Bizman She'en Yisrael Mekayim Mitzvot. It doesn't say that. You could be Mekayim Mitzvah and not do the Ratzon of Hashem. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is looking, what is the Ratzon of Hashem? First thing could be doing on the outside, within the acts, everything seems to be perfect, everything seems wonderful. But is he doing the Ratzon of Hashem? If he's really doing the Ratzon of Hashem, so then then you're going to be Zochah to a much higher reward. If you don't do the Ratzon of Hashem, but you do what Hashem asks, but not what Hashem wants, so then, fine, you'll be Zochah that you'll at least be able to work the fields and bring it in, but you're not doing the Ratzon of Hashem. But what's interesting here is Bizman Shein Yisrael Osin. Osin and Asiya here, it seems to be like just the sitting and learning Torah, that's considered an Asiya. That by you learning, but you having the right intentions, the Asiya will happen from another place. And the final source, and then we'll stop. We'll have a little break till the next year. And as follows, this is a continuation of the Gemara there, and you just learned this part with Rav Kupferman, right? So Nafku, they came out of the cave. Chazu Inshi the Rabbi Bazari Amar Menichin Chay Olam Voskim Mitchay Shah. That's the famous story. They see people working in the fields, and they say, "I can't believe they're doing this. Oh my gosh, they're leaving, you know, eternal life, and they're just dealing with momentary life. It's not anything permanent and eternal about this, etc., etc." Finally, they see the old man. You just heard the shir from Rav Kupferman with the two myrtles, with the two hadassim, right? And they said, "You know, what's this for?" "This is for Shabbos, Chavit Shabbos." "Ah, it's Chavit Shabbos." The last line, "Amrei lebrei." So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai turns to the son and says, "Chazik kama chavivin mitzvot Yisrael." Yativ datayu, the Adishiv Adas. He says, "Look how beautiful they are, how much Yisrael loves the mitzvot of Hashem." In other words, they saw on the outside, this guy's running, and he has these myrtles in his hand, and they just assume that there's nothing holy about what this guy's doing. But once they understood what his intention was, so then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is like, "Oh, how wonderful this." In other words, you could take a mundane act, and if you're to imbue it with holy intentions, it can be the most beautiful thing in the world. And you can take a holy act, and you can have no intentions, and then it's just an act. It's just an act. Tarte Masha. You know, and you don't, it doesn't have to mean anything. But you see that in the very, very first source, this was Rabbi Shimon before he goes into the cave. And the very, very last source is Rabbi Shimon after he comes out the second time. And he really didn't change that much when you think about it. Because in the very, very beginning, all he cared about was the intentions. What were Rome's intentions? And he said the intentions were bad, but then they're bad. And here, he looks at the old man, what are his intentions? Oh, his intentions are the Chabad Shabbos? His intentions are good? So then it's good. Because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is very consistent. In Halacha, in Agada, Harshanut on Torah, defining things. Everything is defined by what a person's intention is. So I guess every year, once a year, on Lag BaOmer, we put Rabbi Shimon on the pedestal. Even though, in general, we have Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, we generally pass like Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Shimon. But on one day, we understand that really, Latid Labo, you know, Rabbi Shimon is really the staklut on life like a Kaddish Baruch Hu. This is the Gemara that you mentioned in the beginning. There's a Gemara that looks almost the same as this Gemara, but it has to be Latid Labo with the nations of the world. And that the nations of the world are going to say a Taina, which is like what Rabbi Yehuda said, and then a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to respond like the way that Rabbi Shimon said, right? And it's an amazing Gemara there. It's an amazing Gemara. That's what it is, right?
Well, sorry.
Yeah.
So that Gemara basically shows that's, in other words, there's a histaklut, there's a way of looking at things, which is a very godly way of looking at things. And that's the way of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It doesn't mean that we paskin that way in this world for everything. For some things we actually do paskin. For Davar Sheinu Mitkaven, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. It's machlokus by Melacha Sheinu Tzvich L'Gufa, we paskin. For Davar Sheinu Mitkaven, we do paskin like Rabbi Shimon. For most things we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But the histaklut of Rabbi Shimon is kedai to at least once a year to really focus all of our energies on this idea that our intentions really make who we really are. Our intentions really define every act that we do. And so, Bezrat Hashem, we should be zochah to have intentions and to understand the pnimius of Torah like Rabbi Shimon.